This message is presented to you by Pastor Cliff Reynolds and Word Alive Church in Elwood City, PA. For more information, visit wordalivechurch.info.
A star in the sky, a Savior is born. Jesus Messiah has come. What happened that night will ring on forever till every song has been sung. Your praise goes on. Shepherd stood and watched, and three wise men worshipped the babe who assembled the earth. Oh, what happened that night away in a manger changed the whole.
There, then thank you very much. It's been 2,000 years, but they're still singing this song. His praise goes on. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Turn with me to Acts chapter 16. Because praise is powerful. We've been talking about the power of prayer. We said the other day in Sunday morning that prayer is designed by God to make a difference. I tell you, you couple that praise with prayer, and you're going to see some awesome things happen, some transformation, supernatural. Thank you for your word, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Recently, we looked at Acts chapter 12, where Peter was put in prison. And you remember what happened then? It says, but the church prayed, didn't they? The church prayed for Peter, who was in prison. And he was about to have the same fate that James did, because Herod said, well, it pleased the Jews that I killed James, so I'm going to go ahead and kill Peter now, near Easter time. So the church prayed. And you know the story. We read it. It said that an angel came and flung open a door, and Peter got released. This iron gate flew right open supernaturally because of this angel that was there. It got him out of prison. Why? Because the church prayed. Now, it's interesting that the church was praying, but they knew nothing about what was going on. Because you recall, they were back in the chamber there, and they were praying, and here comes Peter, and he shows up at the door. You remember that? What's that girl's name? Rhoda, I think her name was. She answered the door, and, my goodness! You know, and she ran to tell everybody instead of letting him in. You remember that? But think about it, the church was praying but had no idea what was going on. How many times is the church praying and doesn't realize that God is moving? Some of you are praying about some situations and you wonder, gee, is anything happening? No, God's moving. God's on your behalf. He's intervening, whether you know it or not. Trust Him. Expect. Remember we said Sunday morning, have a fresh expectation every time you pray. No matter what your past was or your experiences in prayer, have a fresh expectation every time that you pray. Why? Because God designed prayer to make a difference. Now we can go to Acts chapter 16. Here's another case. First time, Acts chapter 12, Peter was in prison. Now Paul and Silas are thrown in jail. And it says, verse 24, who having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises. Still singing his praises. Prayed and sang praises. Who prays and sings at midnight? Do you ever get up in the middle of the night, decide to pray? At midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them, and suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. But you know nothing. The foundation was shaken, but the prison stones did not move. There was not an earthquake in that city. It was just right there, localized in that prison for the purpose of getting Paul and Silas out of that prison. Foundations were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and every one's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep, seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and thought, I might as well kill myself because I'm in big trouble. Supposing that the prisoners had fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do not hurt yourself, for we are all here. And then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? What must I do to be saved? It wasn't complicated. And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house. Just what we said a little bit ago. Believe in your heart. Confess with your mouth. And they did believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thus, okay, and they spake unto him the word of the Lord to all that were in his house. Amen. So once again, prayer made a difference, didn't it? We found out that prayer gets you into a position to receive. In fact, turn with me to Mark, the first chapter. Get you into a position to receive. Now, my fifth point on Sunday, I don't think we got to it, but it's we must abide in Him in order to produce fruit. We must abide in Him in order to produce fruit. And if you read John chapter 15, it talks all about abiding. If you don't abide in me, you won't produce fruit. But if you abide in me and my word abides in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. Well, what's it mean to abide? That means to be in contact with Him, right? It means to be in prayer or communion with Him. I think I gave you a definition of abide one time. It means to live in, settle down in, and take up residence in Him. To live in, settle down in, and take up residence in Him. So when we do that and we're in prayer and intimate communion with Him, what's going to happen? You can ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. And you're going to go on and produce fruit. It says when you abide, when you're in a prayer mode, you're going to produce fruit. How many want to produce fruit? Me too. So, you know what? I'm going to shift gears here. Ushers, could you help me with something? Thank you for typing this up today. Whoever did that, Maria or Angela, somebody. But thank you. I want you to have a copy of this. Say, what is it? It's a daily prayer format. A daily prayer format. Now, oh yes, thank you. This is what, you know, sometimes people say to me, Pastor, I'd love to pray every morning, but I just don't know what to pray. I have no idea. Where do I start? What do I do? So I'm going to let you in on what I do for my prayer time. And we'll just go through this quickly. I wish there was, I probably ought to do this Sunday morning. Well, we'll pass them out Sunday morning too. Notice in Psalm 100, verse 4, the Bible says, enter his gates with thanksgiving and come into his courts with praise. How do you start prayer? Start thanking him. Father, thank you that you've fed us all these years. We've not missed a paycheck. Father, thank you that I have a house, a roof over my head. Thank you I have shelter. Thank you that I have some health, good health. Thank you, Lord. Begin to thank him when you enter in. And you know what? It's a good thing. It's healthy for you to get you in the right frame of mind, mental attitude. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and come into his courts with that what? That praise. What was the title of that song? Praise what? We just heard. His praise never ends or something. Whatever that was. It was good. But that's how you begin your prayer time. And then, so verbalize a list of items that you're thankful for. That's what I was just doing. Praise him. Thank him for the provision, for your vision. Do you have a vision for your life? Thank him for the provision for the vision. And I do that regarding the vision for this church. Thank you, Father, for the provision for the vision. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 to 3. And you can read this yourself. It talks about praying for men in authority, kings and men in authority. That means our government leaders, right? Pray for those in the government, the entire executive, legislative, judicial branches of our government. You say, well, I don't like that president, or I don't like that vice president. It didn't say whether you like them or not. It says you got to pray for them. So sometimes you have to go, okay, come on, I'm going to pray for these guys right now. Now, do it with a good attitude, all right? You do it with a pure heart. Okay. But anyhow, thank them. Thank him for their families. Ask them to provide, protect, heal, encourage them, and ask them to convict them of sin, deliver them, and guide them all. Boy, they need guidance, don't they? Glory to God. Convict of sin, deliver, and guide. And then you can say, Lord, send laborers, Matthew 9:38. Send laborers to the harvest, O God. Send laborers. Get them born again, Father. I prayed that for Biden, Harris, Pelosi, and Schumer. And Pelosi, she's not there anymore. But anyhow. Well, I was going to say something, but I better not. Anyhow, send laborers to the harvest. I got to behave myself now. And, you know, really what you can do is ask God, just take authority over the blinders in 2 Corinthians 4:4. There are blinders it talks about in that scripture. That blinds their minds that they receive not the light of the glorious gospel. Say, I break the power of those blinders over their minds in Jesus' name. His blinders be lifted in Jesus' name. And Father, I thank you that the eyes of their understanding, according to Ephesians 1:18 and 19, are being enlightened that they might know the hope to which they're called. Amen. And Father, Psalm 2:8, give us the heathen for our inheritance. Yes, Holy Spirit, lead them to the new birth. Amen. Give us the heathen for our inheritance. You say, we got some people in government that are heathens? Yep. They're not saved, they're heathens. Then Zechariah 10:1, that's a good one. That's a revival prayer. Say, Lord, send the rain in the time of the latter rain that we might have a harvest. Bright clouds and a harvest. We're talking about spiritual rain, right? Send the rain in the time of the latter rain. Bring a spiritual awakening to this country, Lord. Bring a spiritual renewal to America and to all the nations of the world, Father. Bring us back to your moral compass. Cause repentance to be pervasive, Father. 2 Corinthians 7:14. And you know that 2 Chronicles 7:14. It says, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven. I will forgive their sin and I will heal this land. Bring this nation to repentance. Bring us back to your plumb line. You say, you know what a plumb line is. Those of you who are carpenters, it's a ball that hangs on the end of a string so that you know what true vertical is, right? It always points to the center of gravity. So that's what's in Amos chapter 7, verses 7 and 8, talking about a plumb line, God's plumb line. Bring us back to your plumb line, Father, your moral compass. Psalm 122, verse 6 says, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. So what do? You do that. You say, Father, thank you. Bring peace to Jerusalem, Father. Bring peace to Israel, Lord. And Father, defeat the enemies of Israel. Defeat Hamas, Hezbollah, Fatah, PLO, Al-Qaeda, Al Jazeera, ISIS, and ISIL. Defeat them all, Father. Defeat those proxy armies that are supported by Iran's efforts against Israel. Spread the gospel throughout the 1040 window nations, Father. Thank you for doing it, Lord. That's a latitude. 1040 window nations. Okay? 1040 window latitude, where those Arab nations are. Spread the gospel throughout the 1040 window nations. Please, Father, bolster the Abrahamic Accord, those nations that support Israel, and encourage them to continue to stand for it with Israel. I think there's about five nations in the Abrahamic Accord. Give all the leaders of the nations a visitation of Jesus or a visitation of an angel, Lord. Give them a visitation. Give Kim Jong-un a visitation of Jesus. How about Putin? How many think he'd like to have a visitation of Jesus or a visitation of an angel? Huh? How about Xi Jinping of China? Huh? Communist China? What is it? China Communist Party, CCP. That they'd all get born again, Father. That the Zelensky of Ukraine, all the Afghan leaders and the leaders of the countries in throughout Africa, Lord, give them a visitation of Jesus or a visitation of an angel, Lord. You can take notes right on this, by the way. Give them. You could even say, give them Holy Ghost dreams and visions, Lord. Give them Holy Ghost dreams and visions. Amen. And then Hebrews chapter 13, I'll read that for you. Hebrews 13, 3. Now this is just how I pray daily. Now I got this outline in my head. I've done it enough. But it's just a springboard. Don't be legalistic about it. This isn't the way you have to pray. But this is a scriptural way to pray. You pray first of all for kings and men in authority. So you pray for your leaders. Okay? Hebrews 13:3 says, remember them that are in bonds, as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity, as being yourselves also in the body. Those who are in bonds, those who are being persecuted, maybe those who are in prison. There's thousands of people in prison in North Korea. China, too. The Uyghurs, they got them in prison. My goodness. Anyhow, just persecution. But they're still the church, aren't they? They know Jesus. So pray for the persecuted church around the world, in China, in North Korea, Somalia, Nigeria, Ethiopia, Sudan, Uganda, and throughout Africa, Afghanistan, Iran, and India, and many other nations you can think about, too. Pray for the persecuted church. Father, what do you say? What are you going to pray? Well, what... You know, pray that God would strengthen them. Pray that He would encourage them. Pray that He would protect them. Pray that revival would bust out. Amen. Amen. A harvest. Amen. Then we can move on to the next part. Pray for the pro-life cause. That moms would... I always say this, Father, thank you for causing moms to save their babies. Cause legislators to vote pro-life. And thank you, Father, for the Supreme Court and for them overturning Roe v. Wade. Hallelujah. And Lord, cause number two, cause the state governments to defund Planned Parenthood and support the pro-life cause. Amen. Hallelujah. And pray individually for those who need healing and thank God for their full recovery. One lady called me today. Her sister was life-flighted to UPMC. Asked me to pray for her sister. She had a stroke. And so I lift these people up. Another little fellow today. Oh, that felt the little guy that had all the transplants was here the other day. Yeah, he's having a procedure to change a port in his neck or something. And so he was going through that today, so I was praying for him. So, but you know people that, you know, thank God Jesse Schaefer's healed, and Tom Schaefer, and amen. And Bill Schaefer. I always keep the Schaefers all together. I just pray for them. And then my brother Dick and then my daughter-in-law's father, his name is Richard too. So I pray for, yeah, that's how I remember them. Anyhow, but you know how you're going to pray for people and thank God for their healing. Thank God for he's healing them, right? For their recovery. Pray for our military and all branches of the service involved. Pray for our military. Pray for the local church, its leaders, and for the huge harvest in this last day. Amen. Amen. And thank him that the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church, and that the church will grow, flourish, and prosper. Glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah. So now there's just an outline that you can do. You say, I don't know what to pray anymore. There it is right there. You got an outline. Can you vary from that? Absolutely. Sure. Things that you can put in there and other prayers and so forth. But we'll pass some more of these out then on Sunday. And when we do, you got your copy, so don't take another one. Unless it's for a friend. Turn with me to Mark chapter 1 in your Bibles. Prayer is becoming, it's coming to the forefront, isn't it? There's a renewed faith in the process of prayer in society. And we saw it with this injury of DeMar Hamlin. By the way, I was watching the other day on TV, and Jim Kelly, former quarterback for the Buffalo Bills. Anybody remember him? Some of you old folks like me? Jim Kelly. He made this statement in regard to this prayer effort that went forth for DeMar Hamlin. He said, God does miracles. Amen. He said, God answers prayer. I wrote it down real quick. I thought, wow. Jim Kelly had cancer at one time. And he said, I had a 10% chance of living. And God answered prayer, raised me up, restored me, and totally healed me. That's on national TV. You know, they used to get criticized or even called on the carpet or even fired if you kneeled on one knee. Now they're kneeling on two knees and nobody's saying a word. Hallelujah! Amen. Glory to God. Fox's Bill Hammer. This is on Fox now. He made this statement. God had other plans for DeMar. God had other plans for DeMar. Josh Allen, the present quarterback for the Buffalo Bills. He was telling all his teammates, God is real. I kind of think he might be a born-again Christian. Does anybody know? I think he might be. Is he? Okay. He said, God, he's telling his teammates, God is real. And so, once again, every time you approach the throne of grace, do so with a fresh expectation. Expect. Hallelujah. You can soar into a new season of opportunity. Expect old hindrances to be removed, for doors of opportunity to be opened. Step into a new season that is above and beyond anything you've ever known. 2023. Remember, each time, fresh expectation. It's a new day. And you and I can stand in the gap. Ezekiel 22:30, and I'll close with this scripture. Ezekiel 22:30. Now we're going back to our intercession, our daily prayer. You have no excuse to say, I don't pray in the morning because I just really don't know what to pray. Now you know. Amen. Now you have a format, right? Exactly right? So now be a doer of the Word of God. Amen? Amen. And be sure you pray. Pray in the Holy Ghost. That's a good thing to do. Pray in the Spirit. Absolutely. Ezekiel 22:30 says, I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found none. God's saying, I'm looking for somebody who will stand in the gap for this nation. I'm looking. I don't see anybody. He couldn't find any. But I'm telling you, I'm looking at a bunch of people right now that are standing in the gap, that are willing to do so, are willing to intercede on behalf of this nation. Amen? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, let's stand tonight. Glory, glory, glory. You say, well, I don't want to bother God with small things, trivial things, you know, my bunion or my ingrown toenail or what. No, no. Seemingly unimportant things, I want you to know that if it's important to you, it's important to God. I said, if it's important to you, it's important to God. Hallelujah. So, prayer takes you out of the natural carnal realm so that you can utilize spiritual weaponry. Amen. Father, thank you tonight. We're excited about prayer, Father. And we want to be in that place with you every single day, Father. Amen. Start our day that way. Amen. And we know, God, that in so doing, it'll be a much better day. Amen. By touching base with you. Thank you for doing it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. So everybody say, I have a format with which to pray. All right. God bless you. Have a great evening.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. For more information, please visit wordalivechurch.info.